Thank you for that song. Open your Bibles to Psalm 97. There is a debate among many people over this issue: who reigns over all? Who rules in this world? I say there is a debate among many people, but there is no debate among the people of God. We know Satan doesn't rule. He is not sovereign. He is not all powerful. He does not have absolute authority. The only authority that Satan has is the authority that God gives him. The only power that Satan has is the power that God gives him. There is one who rules over everything in this world and throughout all of his great creation, and that is our God. If there's any great truth that ought to bring wonderful consolation unto the hearts of God's people in the world today, it is this great truth that Christ Jesus reigns. As you read through the great Psalms, especially beginning with Psalm 93, going to the 99th Psalm, as you read that, you're often confronted with the wonderful fact that our Lord rules over all. He is the governor of all things. In Psalm 93, verse 1, I'll read this to you before we get to Psalm 97. Psalm 93, verse 1, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved." Look at Psalm 96 and verse 10. Here is the word of the psalmist, the word of David. He says, "We should say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth." Don't be ashamed to say it among the heathen. Don't be ashamed to say it among those who don't believe God's word. Be bold. Make this great declaration: our God reigns. He reigns in creation. He reigns in his great work of providence. And he reigns in salvation. Our God reigns. And then look at Psalm 99 and verse 1. "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble." Let those tremble who don't know him. Let those tremble who don't believe him. But let God's people rejoice. Our Lord reigns. And in this psalm we're going to be looking at this evening, in the 97th psalm, here is indeed the theme of this psalm: the Lord reigneth. And in this great psalm, faith is encouraged to joyfully think about the full extent of the reign of God. He reigns over all. That fact is indeed hidden from the world, but it isn't hidden from us. It's been revealed to us in the Word of God, and that is great cause for rejoicing. When earthquakes come, severe storms arise, floodwaters wash away people's properties. Remember this, the Lord reigneth. When troubles and difficulties befall us, when life becomes difficult, when sickness invades our houses, indeed when death comes calling upon one of our loved ones, remember this, the Lord reigneth. When Satan attacks us, even as he attacked Job, and maybe the attack is so severe that all earthly things are lost, and maybe even family members die, still remember and find consolation in this. God reigns. The Lord reigneth. When our world seems to be turned upside down, and you just can't figure how things are going, what is happening in the world, remember this. Still, the Lord reigns. When sorrows make our hearts heavy with grief, remember the Lord reigns. When you feel the awfulness of your sin, you feel how wretched you are, and you need God's forgiveness, you need reassurance of the bloody death of the Lord Jesus that satisfied God's justice, make sure you remember this. God reigns in salvation. He is the King of grace. When events come to pass in this world, you don't understand, when it seems that evil is on the rampage, when it seems that wickedness abounds, let us still remember God reigns. He reigns everywhere and at all times. Our God has never vacated his throne. He has not one time ever ceased to be God over all, blessed forever. Everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that shall yet happen in this world, God reigns over all of it because he ordained everything from before the foundation of the world. That ought to give joy to our hearts. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens because Satan willed for it to happen and somehow or another he trumped God. Oh no. All things happen according to his will. Everything that happens in this world, good or evil, God reigns over it. I can't fathom that. I don't understand how God even uses evil to bring about his purpose, but he does, and that helps my poor heart. That gives me a good consolation in this world. This is what the Israelites celebrated. They came out of Egyptian bondage. They faced then a sea that they couldn't pass over. They had the enemy back behind them. It seemed to them there was no way out. But their God said to Moses, "Tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And God opened up a path. All seemed lost to them. It seemed like it was an absolutely impossible situation. "We're not going to get out of this." They said, "We'll die. Why'd you bring us out here to die?" But there are no impossibilities with God. And God made a way through that Red Sea. And all of the Israelites walked through on dry ground. as they looked up to either side and they saw the waters congealed, and they just walked right on through. And they got to the other side, and Pharaoh and his armies, they were in mad pursuit. And they got in the middle of the sea, and God said, "Waters, come back together and wash them all into hell." And you get into Exodus chapter 15, the song of victory. And this is what they rejoiced in Exodus 15 and verse 18. This is what they rejoiced in. They said, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." He reigns over our enemies. Isn't that wonderful? What enemies do we have? The enemy of sin. God still reigns over sin. The enemy of Satan, God still reigns over Satan. The world, God still reigns over the world. Every enemy of all of God's people, He reigns over them all. So let the people of God rejoice. Rejoice. This is the theme of this psalm. God reigns. It brings joy to the hearts of His people. It brings absolute terror to the hearts of His enemies. God reigns. He's always reigned. Look at verse 1. Psalm 97, 1, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord in all capital letters. Who is the Lord? God our Savior. This is Christ Jesus, the King of Kings. His reign is indeed the fulfillment of prophecy. God said to His Son in Psalm 2, "I'll give the heathen to you for an inheritance. You'll reign over them." How did Christ Jesus come to reign? Well, as God, He's always reigned, because that's what God does. God reigns over all, and the Son of God reigns over all, and the Spirit of God reigns over all. Our triune God reigns. But the second person of the Trinity stepped out of glory, and He came into this world to do what God appointed Him to do before the world ever began: save a people by His substitutionary death. These were the people for whom He was the surety back in old eternity. These are the people for whom He's the shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. The Son of God assumed and took to Himself, in union with Himself, our nature. Sin accepted. No sin. And in that nature, He obeyed God's law, but it wasn't good enough to obey God's law. He did obey God's law. But you see, God's law doesn't allow do-overs. God had said from the beginning, "Be ye perfect, be ye holy. Obey and live, disobey and die." Adam died. God didn't say, "Now if you can't keep the law, I'll send somebody else to keep it for you, and that'll be fine." No, the wages of sin is death. Oh, Christ had to keep the law, and He did keep the law. But His obedience to the law did not satisfy God's justice. His obedience to all of the Mosaic commandments didn't put our sins away, and it didn't satisfy the law, because the law kept on crying out, "I must have death." That's what the law says. Our Lord Jesus lived that life of perfection, and by that life of perfection, He showed He is eminently and the only one who is qualified to die the death of the cross. And indeed, He did give Himself for our sins. He was our substitute. He died for us. That's what satisfied the law. That's what the law demanded. You say, well, how could the death of one man be such a joyous thing, such a great blessing for so many people? Because of who that man was. That's the God-man. That's God incarnate. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And His death, the death of the God-man, the death of the glory man, the death of the perfect man, put away all the sins of every sinner in whose stead He died. Amen. And on the basis of finishing the work that God gave Him to do, He's been exalted. First step of His exaltation, resurrection. Second step of His exaltation, ascension. Third step of His exaltation, a great coronation. Read Psalm 24 again, like you read this morning. And the fourth step of His exaltation, absolute universal authority. He told His disciples when He gave them the Great Commission, He said, all power is given unto Me, and in heaven and in earth. In other words, I reign. I reign. I reigned as God before I ever came down here. But now I reign as the God-man. As the God-man. And I commission you to go out and preach the gospel. And you may rest assured that as you preach the gospel will be effectual in the hearts to those to whom I send it. He's been exalted. Given all power, all authority. He reigns. Who reigns? Christ Jesus reigns. Simon Peter told that crowd there on the day of Pentecost, he said, God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He reigns. That's what Simon Peter's saying. That's what all of God's servants are saying. We don't say He wants to reign. We don't say He wants you to let Him be Lord over your life. We don't say anything about letting Him do anything. He does reign. Acknowledge His reign. Bow to His reign. Love His reign. Worship Him who reigns. But whether you believe He reigns or not doesn't change the fact the Lord reigneth. He reigns in the kingdom of creation. He reigns in the kingdom of providence, and He reigns in the kingdom of grace. No wonder then that David says, let the earth rejoice. That's his second statement. Let the earth rejoice. How extensive is His reign? Throughout all the earth. That's why the earth is told to rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Be glad, rejoice. You ever notice how many times in the scriptures the people of God are told to rejoice? How many times we're told to be glad? Well, why should we be glad? Have you looked around lately, preacher? Have you looked at the condition of the world, the division in the nature, in our nation? Have you observed the wickedness that's going on? Oh yes, and those things are grievous to the heart. But I rejoice because I know this. God reigns over all. My Savior reigns over all. And that which to us might seem to be a mixed up, jumbled mess is in fact organized and following the path that Christ has set forth and ordained from before the world began. And everything's going right on schedule. I just love that. No wonder he says, be glad. Be glad. Don't be sad. Be glad that he reigns. Look at verse 2. He says, clouds and darkness around about him. Clouds and darkness. What does that suggest? Things mysterious. Things dark. Things unknown. What this does, it sets forth the providential reign of Christ Jesus I tell you, providence, it is often dark and mysterious, isn't it? The ways of God are past finding out. Romans chapter 11. You read through the scriptures. Read in the book of Job. The ways of God toward Job, they're like clouds in darkness. Read of the death of his son. Or to the saints of God who were alive back when our Lord Jesus was arrested, to them that seemed like clouds in darkness. Oh no, the Savior has been arrested. Did you hear? What? What? Oh yes, they came with torches and they took him off. They took our Savior. Yes, they took him off, and you know what? They're going to kill him. And the saints of God were sad. They were brokenhearted. And yet they should have remembered his word. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The chief priest must take him. He must suffer many things. You see, that which on the surface appeared to be the worst thing that could ever happen was really the best thing that ever happened. Because that's where our salvation's at right there. There's our redemption. There's our reconciliation. There's our righteousness right there. Brought forth at the cross. That which seemed to be the darkest hour for the church. People were forsaking him, leaving him. The disciples were leaving him. It seemed like the enemy had won. The enemy had the upper hand, and they were all sitting there watching him. They were entertained by his death. And the church of the Lord Jesus, oh, how small she was in that day. She said, oh, no, they've killed our Savior. Hey, rejoice. The Lord reigneth. This all happened by divine direction. They're doing what God ordained from before the world began. He must die that we would live. He must die that sin would die. He must be raised again so that death will die. These things have to happen. And they happen for God's glory, and they happen for the good of his church. I know clouds and darkness are about him. And I'll tell you, it seems like a lot of times clouds and darkness are around us, don't they? But you just remember this. The Lord reigns. Even on them cloudy days. Even on those dark days when you just can't figure out what's going on. When you can't gaze into the darkness, say, what is happening in my life? What is happening in this world? Clouds and darkness, clouds and darkness. Just remember this. While you may not see it, and you may not understand what's happening, it is still true. The Lord reigneth. He reigneth. Watch this, what he says. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. That word habitation is the foundation. This God who reigns, he will always do what's right. Now, it may not seem right to us. It may not seem right to the world. But it's right. Because he does it. Isn't that right? Because he does. Whatever he does is right. Whatever he does is right. Because righteousness and judgment or justice, that's the habitation of his throne. Look at verse 3. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. Perhaps this is the fire of his holiness, as it went forth from Mount Sinai when the law was given. After all, the scripture says our God is a consuming fire. Or this may refer to the fire of the gospel, which as it goes forth, it warms, it melts, it enlightens his people while it searches and torments and destroys his enemies. It is for certain the fire of his holiness will devour those who oppose him. In verse 4 it says, his lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. When God sends his lightning, God sends his thunder, men tremble greatly. But you know what? Thunder and lightning won't bring sinners to the Savior. You read several times in the book of the Revelation when God sends awful plagues upon men. It says, yet they repented not to give him glory. What's got to happen? God's got to enlighten the heart. He's got to give you a new heart. He's got to take away the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. What does that mean, a heart of flesh? A heart that feels, a heart that's sensitive, a heart that is alive, alive. The Spirit of God's got to enlighten us. He's got to give us life. He's got to warm us. Look at verse 5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. When Christ Jesus comes in his sovereign power, in his authority to a man's hard heart, it just melts like wax before him. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can melt the heart save the sovereign King who reigns over all. There it says the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. That word presence is literally face. At the face of the Lord. You see, Christ Jesus is the face of the Lord. Our Savior spoke to his disciples there in John chapter 14. Philip said to him, show us the Father. It satisfies. The Master said, Philip, have I been with you so long? Don't you understand? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. He is the face of the Lord. All of God you'll ever see. And what a sight it is by faith, and what a sight it will be in reality. All of the Godhead you will ever see is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who reigns. In verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All of creation bears testimony to the righteousness of the reign of Jesus Christ, and that he reigns in righteousness, having brought in righteousness by his substitutionary death. The Lord's name is the Lord, our righteousness. We must speak of his righteousness. We've got to have this righteousness. And in the Son of God we have righteousness. What will be the standard of the final judgment but righteousness? Are you righteous? Well, not in yourself, you're not. But in your blessed Savior, through his death, you're made the righteousness of God in him. That one who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 7, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Let us never forget that idolatry is an abomination in God's sight. Let us all take warning that we worship nothing and no one save Christ Jesus the Lord. Render unto him that great glory that he deserves. Worship nothing else. If you don't worship the Savior who is sovereign, you're not worshiping at all. Worship him who has all power in heaven and in earth, the one who has all authority to give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. Look in verse 8. Zion heard and was glad. The church heard the gospel. The church rejoiced at the righteousness and the justice of the Lord. Zion heard and was glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. That which makes our hearts overflow with joy is the thought that our blessed Savior, the one who redeemed us, sits upon the throne of absolute dominion. And he rules all things to bring to pass that which he ordained to do before he ever made the world. And he's making all things work together for our good. Isn't that great? That good news to the people of God. Zion heard and was glad. The Lord reigneth. And Zion says, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so happy that he reigns. The daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments, O Lord. Verse 9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Oh, how high has he been exalted? To the very heights of heaven. The scripture tells us his throne ruleth over all. No limitation to his rule, to his authority. Verse 10, ye that love the Lord, you who worship this Lord who reigns, now you hate evil. And we do hate it, don't we? I hate evil. I hate the evil that's in me. And I got to start right there. We hate the evil that's in us. And I know we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that I believe in imputed righteousness with all my heart. But I also know at the same time that in and of myself, I'm still rotten to the core. And so are you. There's no question about it. Where do we hate evil? Well, we hate it in ourselves first. And then we hate it in others. We hate it in the world. I hate evil. Oh, what a blessed day it will be when we will be absolutely free of all evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints. Hallelujah. He keeps us. If he didn't keep us, we'd have fallen a long time ago. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. And then he says in verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. The Lord Jesus scatters or sows his light in such a way that it goes forth throughout the world. Makes our hearts glad. You were in darkness, but you're not in darkness anymore. You were in error, but you're not in error anymore. What has happened? Light is sown for the righteous. You've been enlightened. Therefore, the psalmist says in verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. You're righteous. Rejoice in the Lord. You know what? There's nobody else to rejoice in. There's nowhere else to find any joy. You're not going to find any joy in this world. Oh, temporary, yeah, but not lasting joy. That's the reason the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. We give thanks that God's holy. We give thanks because the Son of God honored the holy character of God and fully satisfied it. And we're thankful. And we go on our way tonight rejoicing, saying in our heart, echoing the words of the psalmist, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. I shall lay my head on my pillow tonight and know that no matter what happens during the night, no matter what happens tomorrow, my Savior reigneth. And you know what? That makes everything all right, doesn't it? Makes everything all right. Well, let's sing a close.